Welcome again, friends, to the Book of Psalms. The ninth psalm is the first one devoted primarily to praise. You may have noticed a lot of lament thus far, yet the Psalter will move progressively toward praise. Picture the book like a grand symphony, with various chord progressions all starting and returning here and again, weaving the symphony together. Think Dvorak's Ninth Symphony. Ba-da-bum-bum-bum. In the Psalms, praise will ring out stronger and stronger into a great crescendo of hallelujah. Thus far, the sounds of lament and cries for justice have dominated. Remember that the book was compiled into this order in a time of restoration. At that time, lament resonated first. And the call for justice continues here, but the mood lifts dramatically. Psalm 9 is a victory song. I hear the resilience of old gospel hymns and the confidence of the Rocky theme. The words here are both a proclamation of and a cry for God's justice. David sees the oppressed and afflicted and cries to God for deliverance and judgment. Let's dive in at verse 1. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. There is determination in David's words. I will is a decision, a commitment of his whole heart. I will sing praise. In the year that was my life's most painful, I wrestled with many doubts. I found myself in mental ruts, thought loops that worked like old tires spinning themselves deeper into the mud. And it brought out a version of me I didn't like. I finally realized that the choice was mine. I must choose to take every thought captive. So I did, and I said out loud, I choose hope. I choose faith. I choose joy. I choose love. For me, for my family, I choose it. That became my mantra every time darker moods took hold. That's where I see David here. I will give thanks. I will tell. I will rejoice. I will sing praise. Come on, David. Let's hear that song, brother. Verse 3. My enemies. Pause there. Quick reminder that David is not referring to the folks at work who annoy you. We all have personality conflicts. This is not that. When you read my enemies, picture first David's life. His whole life was battle. His enemies tracked him down to destroy him. And second, recognize the greater battle. Spiritual forces of evil attacked David because God chose him, because God promised a Messiah through him. In the larger sense, these words belong to Christ. His enemies are the enemies: evil, oppression, hatred, death. David's victory cry here is a pre-echo. Okay, back to verse 3. My enemies turn back. They stumble and perish before you. For you have upheld my right and my cause, sitting enthroned as the righteous judge. Victory. David stands atop victory's hill and beats his chest at the world. They came to destroy him. Now they flee. Not before him, before the Lord. God is enthroned. He upholds what is right. Not because I'm right, but because he is the righteous judge. He wins. There is a sense of fulfillment here to David's plea in Psalm 7, but now it is much larger. God has upheld the cause of the righteous. As you hear the song, you get the clear sense that David's view from this hill carries him out of his own time to something far greater. This is the victory, justice over the wicked, freedom for the oppressed. Yet David sees it, and he wants us to see it, to climb victory's hill with him, beat our chest at the world, and declare with God's people, we win. When all this is over, we win. Verse 5, you have rebuked the nations and destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. There are memories from this life that must not endure. To my brothers and sisters who know trauma, you know this. God will wipe away every tear, and he will blot out the very names of the wicked. Verse 6. Endless ruin has overtaken my enemies. You have uprooted their cities. Even the memory of them has perished. Next, our eyes are lifted further on and further up to the closing chapters of Revelation's glory. Verse 7. The Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment. This is the vision that strengthens every believing heart. All God's children singing, glory, glory, hallelujah. He reigns forever. His throne established. We will see it, and every wicked deed, every worker of evil will face judgment. David sees it now by faith. Verse 8. He rules the world in righteousness and judges the peoples with equity. How my heart longs to see it, to see the world ruled in righteousness, the people judged with equity. That's my Lord. That's how he rules. But what about now? What about the mess I'm in? Verse 9. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. That verse is a powerhouse. God is refuge. He is safe house, protection, and safety. Seek him. He will not forsake you. So what about them, the people who need refuge now? Believer, I hope this challenges you as it does me. This is our God, the one whose image we reflect. Righteousness, equity, refuge. In my own country, we Christians often hold a rather negative attitude toward refugees. I'm not talking about the complexities of politics. I'm just challenging our attitude toward the oppressed. Perhaps we misread this verse like we misread the passage about enemies, as if the Psalms are only written for me and my situation. What about them? Don't let me challenge you. Let the Word challenge you. Read carefully. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed. If that's so, what should his people be? Selah. Now David has been transfixed on seeing the Lord, but now he turns to us. He wants us to sing. Verse 11. Sing the praises of the Lord, enthroned in Zion. Proclaim among the nations what he has done. For he who avenges blood remembers. He does not ignore the cries of the afflicted. Now there's a title for a hero. Avenger of blood. That's our God. Jesus is avenger. God's vengeance is not like ours. No blind rage or payback. The word avenge here means inquire and hold to account. For a man like David, who saw more than his share of friends fall to the sword, it means a great deal to know that God calls every drop to account. Every act of oppression, every injustice, every abuse of power, every drop of blood. He who avenges blood remembers. He does not ignore the cries of the afflicted. And that is worth singing. Now, something I so appreciate about David, he can be so transfixed on seeing God's glory above that we forget that he's singing from a pit below. Verse 13. Lord, see how my enemies persecute me. Have mercy and lift me up from the gates of death, that I may declare your praises in the gates of daughter Zion, and there rejoice in your salvation. All this time, he's standing in the pit, asking God to lift him up to Victory's Hill. Lift me up, Lord, so I can sing, so I can rejoice. Save me. In verse 15, he rises. He sees it. The nations have fallen into the pit they have dug. Their feet are caught in the net they have hidden. The Lord is known by his acts of justice. The wicked are ensnared by the work of their hands. Mired in a pit of persecution, David finds his strength in God's justice. Three different ways David describes the justice of God as simple, straightforward, getting what you give. Dig your own pit, caught in your own net, snared by your own work. Justice, your own cruelty lands on you. For some of us, this is great encouragement. For all of us, it's also a sobering warning. The wicked go down to the realm of the dead, all the nations that forget God. But God will never forget the needy. The hope of the afflicted will never perish. Powerful contrast. The oppressors forget God, but God never forgets the oppressed. As I studied this psalm, I listened to the old soundtrack from Prince of Egypt, Deliver Us. So good. I could almost picture David meditating on the Exodus story and writing this psalm as his own soundtrack. The Lord hears the cry of the afflicted. Their hope will never perish. Evil perishes. The wicked perish. Cruelty and oppression perish. Hope endures. I choose hope. Verse 19. Arise, Lord. Do not let mortals triumph. Let the nations be judged in your presence. Strike them with terror, Lord. Let the nations know they are only mortal. And so the Lord has lifted David from his pit to rise up upon that great hill to see to the end, to God's final victory. Coming back to the present, David calls upon God. Arise, Lord, and judge. Remind all those who act as if they are gods. Remind them they're human. They are mortal. All their power and cruelty ends. We stand on that hill. We win. Selah.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.